Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. I love this song, so give me a break. Summary, whatever. And what's coming is so horrible. I turn it off for a minute. What I'm going to cover on this show today is so horrible, so shocking, so agitating, because I'm going to ask you, is Obama trying to spark a race war? I know it's controversial to even ask such a question. But if we had a president who was out to start a race war, he couldn't do a better job than Obama is doing. Just the other day, for example, Obama's election year pitch leaves out white males. Instead, he appeals only to, he says, it will be up to each of you to make sure that the young people, African Americans, Latinos, and women who powered our victory in 08 stand together once again, Obama said. He left out white males, and yet moronic white males voted for him, not knowing they were digging their own grave, with shovels given to them by the Democrat Party. The other day, Arizona, in all of their rights, passes a very sane, very balanced immigration control law. And the left goes insane, starts to scream Nazi, racist, fascist. And instead of Obama acting like the president, which he really can't act like because he doesn't know what the job entails, instead of coming out and saying, well, I disagree with the law in Arizona, states have rights, and we're not going to intervene because we're the federal government, states have their own governments, and the people have spoken. We understand their problems. He didn't do that. He said he's going to challenge the law. He's going to send Eric Holder, who never met a terrorist he didn't like, after Arizona. And now he's sparking massive rallies on May Day, which, by the way, is a communist holiday. The Hispanic immigrants are going to riot across America on this weekend, May Day, which is a communist holiday. Can't you idiots put two and two together? When are you going to finally figure out why the radical left, whether it be the president here or the prime minister of England, why are they always in favor of illegal aliens, not in favor of the citizens themselves? Because their alliances are with the International Socialist Party of the world. Why don't you understand, finally, what I've been trying to tell you? This goes well beyond your Gardner. Is Obama trying to spark a race war? Now, you can call me on that, and you could say yes or you could say no, but what just came out moments ago on Drudge is says residents in Arizona are organizing counter boycotts of Mexican food restaurants and travel to Mexican resorts and boycotting Mexican-owned companies in America, and they're going to find out where the money lies. That's right. The power in this debate is not with the rabble in the streets who are throwing rocks at police, who are threatening to kill you with hose and axes, as you'll soon find out. The very same vermin in the left-wing media in this country who said that the Tea Parties were violent because they lied. There was no violence at Tea Parties. There was no N-word. There was no racism. It's all coming out of the immigrant rallies. They are the violent racists. The minute anyone in this country legitimately said, enough is enough, you've killed enough, you run enough drugs, you've ruined our hospitals, you've ruined our schools, suddenly they start screaming Nazi and fascist, and every illegitimate left-wing lawyer comes out saying, we'll sue. Every illegitimate left-wing lawyer comes out, we're going to sue, sue, and sue. That's all they know. Now we're going to find out who has the power here. Do the citizens of this country have the power to say no to illegal aliens who have ruined the country, who have bought our politicians like cheap prostitutes? Ask yourself a question. How is it that you have arrived in a nation at a time when your politicians do not represent you, but they represent foreign residents, foreign citizens, non-citizens who are stealing your medical care, stealing your legal care, ruining your schools, ruining your hospitals. How is it possible that politicians cannot take your side? How is it possible they're taking the side of non-citizens? Now, if you say my rhetoric is hyper-charged and over the top, let me ask you good liberals who are so dispassionate about this immigration question, a question for yourself. Don't answer me, because I know you won't call the show because I'll gobble you up like a bonbon. Answer this question yourself. How does the Mexican government treat illegal aliens from Guatemala? How do the Mexican people treat other Hispanics who come into their country illegally? How do the Mexican police treat Guatemalans and Nicaraguans? How do the Mexican people look upon other Hispanics? If you don't know the answer to that question, you're as dumb as I think you are. And you are as illiberal as you think you are liberal. You are not even fit to vote in this country if you can't answer that question. Because I know the answers to that question. And the answers are not pretty. And so, yes, this will backfire on the Hispanic mobs. Yes, this will backfire on Obama. Yes, this is exactly what America's been waiting for. Yes, the rabble in the streets this weekend will turn even the most moderate American against the Hispanic mobs. Yes, this kills immigration reform, meaning amnesty for illegals. Yes, this destroys another centerpiece of Obama's socialist revolution. Yes, this is good news. Yes, the hand of God is behind all of this. And yes, 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 we, the American people, could not have wished for a better spokesman for this illegal mob than Al Sharpton himself. How they, the Hispanics, could have permitted this rabble-rouser, Al Sharpton, to jump in on this debate. Perhaps this man is the most hated man in American history. I do not know anybody in this country, blacks or whites or Hispanic, who have any respect for this man. And yet he jumps out as though he's suddenly of Mexican descent, and he starts screaming racism and this-ism and that-ism. Well, let me tell you something. They couldn't have had a worse thing happen to them than have Al Sharpton come out and speak for them in those abominable tones that he used the other day. The fact of the matter is, I am so sick and tired of pressing one for English. I do not want to press one for English in my own country. I don't want to go to a motor vehicle bureau where every language is shown and English is only one of the languages. Do you know what an outrage it is to live in San Francisco where people can vote in 6 to 8 languages? Many of them are not even citizens. Why is it that the illegitimate politicians of San Francisco, all of whom are beholden to the illegitimate citizens because they're non-citizens, why is it that they want ballots in so many languages? After all, this is a sovereign nation, is it not? Why should the ballots not be in one language, English? And if these people are so anxious to be Americans, why must we pander to them in Arabic, in Mandarin? I can read all of the languages that the ballots are in, but you understand the picture. The reason the ballots are in so many languages is that is how the illegitimate political structure stays in power, which is by bypassing the fed-up voter. So it brings us back to the first question. Why is this all happening now? Why is this all happening now? The Arizona law was passed by the governor. Her poll numbers went through the ceiling. 70% of people in Arizona support the law in Arizona. Now, you can't call them all racist because of that 70%, what percent of them are of Hispanic descent? I don't know, very high percent, because many people in Arizona are of Hispanic descent. They are fed up with the illegal aliens. Take a look at the pictures of the illegal aliens. And if you think I'm making it up, here is an illegal immigrant saying they will take up their shovels and axes and use them to defeat you and beat you up. Anyone ready for the tutu maquettes? Because here they come. Listen to clip 9.
We will not stop. We will take up our shovels and our pickaxes and we break the land and make your landscaping and clear toilets and our planters. We will use them against you. Believe that.
So they're threatening a kind of Mau Mau uprising in the United States of America using landscaping tools, shovels, and axes against the American people. And Obama says that he'll take their side. I rest my case. I cannot believe that I'm even having to ask this question. And the man behind it all is Obama because he is empowering them. He is enabling them. He could have stopped this. He still could stop it. All Obama has to do is act like a president instead of a community activist, meaning a communist. All he has to do is say, now, wait a minute, folks, I want this cooled down. I don't agree with the Arizona law, but it's a sovereign state. They have been overrun by drug dealers. They've been overrun by illegal aliens. Ranchers have been killed. Cops are being killed. And although I don't agree with the law, I understand the people of Arizona. We're going to try to help them. But he didn't say that. Instead, he said he's going to sic his attorney general on the people of Arizona and sue them for standing up to the federal government. Yes, my friends, I have to ask this question on the Savage Nation because it's a pregnant question. Is Obama trying to spark a race war for his own reasons? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Let me ask you, let's say you're a good liberal and you're confused and you think that it's Nazi Germany to ask illegal immigrants to show you whether they're citizens after they're stopped for a traffic violation or they're involved in a drug deal and they're arrested and the cop says, now are you a citizen? Show me your papers. And you're so mixed up that you think this is equal to Nazism. Explain to me how a nation benefits when voting can occur in Arabic, Chinese, English, Farsi, French, German, Greek, Japanese, Korean, Russian, Spanish, Thai, and Vietnamese, and many other languages in any city of the United States of America. Here in San Francisco, the voters are not given ballots in English, but in Arabic, Chinese, English, Farsi, French, German, Greek, Japanese, Korean, Russian, Spanish, Thai, and languages I never heard of. The answer is this is insanity. These people can't even read traffic signs. How in the hell can these illegal aliens read a traffic sign if they can't read English? Who but a drugged up liberal politician would think that it's compassionate and humane to conduct a nation in a Tower of Babel fashion? And that's why I say this is long overdue. For over 16 years on radio, I've been waiting for this day. For 16 years, I've been waiting for this day to finally see America awaken to the ultimate battle. And the ultimate battle here is about immigration. It ties into every other problem in this country, whether you know it or not. Immigration is related to the meltdown of our economy. Why do I say that? Because the illegal immigrants do not provide net amounts of money to this country. They take it. Whatever excess money they make, they send back to their home country. That's number one. They don't pay any taxes, number two. They get free medical services, free childcare services, free schooling, free legal. You have no idea. And let's talk about the housing bubble that just burst. Do you know what percentage of mortgages that went belly up were mortgages that were given to illegal immigrants, non-citizens, because Bonnie Frank and the other illegitimate forced banks to give loans to illegal immigrants? Do you know what percentage of these houses that are underwater were owned by are owned by illegal immigrants? You don't have the answer to that because the government will not release the data. So you have to ask yourself, when you have a government at odds with the people to this extent, you have to ask yourself, where is a legitimate government going to come from? Now, before I take your calls on this issue going to occur over this weekend, which will bring people out to vote that haven't voted in 25 years, I cannot wait to see the gangbangers and the other illegal aliens spurred on by the communists, the white communist liberals from the ACLU and the universities, egging them on to commit violence. Because what that's going to do is bring out the grandmothers and the grandfathers who have not voted. They're going to come out and they're going to vote en masse to throw out the Democrats in a way I don't think I've ever seen in this country before. It's going to happen in England as well. Something wonderful happened yesterday in England. As you may know, I was banned entry into England by the illegitimate communist socialist Gordon Brown. Gordon Brown has made it almost illegal to speak English in England. He has made it almost illegal to say, I am a proud Brit in Britain. He has pandered to the Pakistanis. He panders to Muslims. In fact, I have found secret emails where he says, we need Michael Savage's name on that ban list to balance the list. The list consisted of Muslim murderers, Muslim terrorists, and Muslim gangsters. They are banned from England. And yet they put Michael Savage on a list of people banned in England in order to balance the list. He is a racist communist. And I have waited for the day that occurred last night. Something wonderful happened. Heaven opened up. Gordon Brown was out in the streets of England campaigning for the prime minister's job again. This bum was almost finished a year ago. But because of the ineptitude of the Conservative Party, because the Conservative Party in England is following the playbook of the Republicans in this country, instead of coming out strongly, they came out weakly. Instead of coming out passionately for nationalism, they came out against nationalism. And so the conservatives who would have won fell way behind in the polls. And this loser, Gordon Brown, jumped up again. But all of a sudden, the real Gordon Brown, when the mask was taken off inside a car after he talked to a woman 69 years of age, he said something about her that was caught on an open microphone. Listen to clips 6, 7, and 8 right now.
Another day on the campaign trail meeting ordinary voters. But in Rochdale, Gordon Brown hadn't reckoned on talking to Mrs. Gillian Duffy.
No, I'm absolutely ashamed of saying I'm Labour.
No, you mustn't be, because what we've done, we've improved the health service. We're financing more police, neighbourhood policing.
But she wasn't having any of it and had more questions for the Prime Minister.
How are you going to get us out of all this debt,
because
Gordon?
We've got a deficit reduction plan, cut the debt by half over the next 4 years. We've got the plans.
You can't say anything about the immigrants because you're saying that but all these Eastern Europeans what are coming in.
It did all end with a handshake and even a little joke before Mr. Brown got into his car. But he forgot the first rule of television. Okay. If you're wearing a microphone, the camera can hear you wherever you are. And just listen to what he said.
That was a disaster. Well, just... should never have put me in with that woman. Whose idea was that?
I don't know, I
didn't
see.
It's Sue, I think. It's just ridiculous. They will go in.
What did she say?
Oh, everything. She's just a sort of bigoted woman. Said she used to be Labour. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know why it's just too much.
Despite the poor sound, Mr. Brown called it right. It was a disaster both for him and Labour. Calling Mrs. Duffy bigoted has deeply upset her. Her reaction speaks for itself.
You're joking.
Mrs. Duffy was then shown the footage for herself in the satellite truck.
Well, it shut me down completely.
All right, so that's the end of the Labour Party. Finally, the mask was ripped off another drugged-up, illegitimate Labour socialite, just like the mayors of half the cities of this country and 90% of the congressmen. America, stand up and take your country back.
Savage.
There is something going on. It's as though God's hand is at work here. Gordon Brown's ill-timed gaffe of a lifetime, they're calling it, the thing I played for you before the break. In an incident some are describing as the gaffe of a lifetime, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown was caught on an open mic this morning calling a voter a bigoted woman. The woman, a 65-year-old widow named Gillian Duffy, had heckled Brown about immigration and taxes during a live television interview, as you know. So he gets back in his limousine, and he starts mumbling to an aide that the conversation with her was a disaster, and that he never should have been advised to speak to that bigoted woman. He didn't know he was still wearing his lapel microphone when he said it. Now, he's since gone back and apologized to Mrs. Duffy and made a fool of himself. But this screw-up by Brown, the illegitimate Prime Minister of England, who put Michael Savage on a list of banned people with murderers and terrorists, has now electrified the British press, which is covering the tight three-way election campaign that is underway in England between Brown's struggling Communist Labour Party, David Cameron's leading conservatives, and they call it the insurgent Liberal Democrat Party led by Nick Clegg. What does it have to do with America? I will tell you that Obama, showing his ineptitude in handling the Arizona immigration law, is his ill-timed gaffe of a lifetime. Because the illegal aliens are going to come out of their bottle. They have been throwing rocks at the police, but your verminous local media won't show them. Your vermin in the local television crews are told to turn the cameras off when the peace-loving Hispanic mobs throw rocks and chase the police. Your verminous, loser, worthless TV crews are trying to show the Tea Party members as what they are not and trying to make the illegal aliens into what they are not. But they're not winning. And come this weekend, mark my words, by not stepping in and stopping this before it got out of control, this will be Obama's ill-timed gaffe of a lifetime and not stemming this reaction that's coming this weekend. He could have stepped in. He could have handled it diplomatically. And Obama could have said, well, I disagree with the law in Arizona. The people certainly have a right to defend themselves, and we understand it. And the federal government has not done its job. We're going to try and do a better job. That would have put an end to it. Instead, he flared up the illegal aliens. He has threatened the voters of Arizona. He has threatened the governor of Arizona. And every illegitimate, verminous lawyer in America is salivating now to sue the police, who will simply be doing their job. Every race-baiting hustler in America who has had slim pickings these last few months is now sharpening up their teeth and oiling up their rent-a-mob buses to go to Arizona. And I tell you, this is actually a good thing for America. It's good because Obama has no chance now of passing amnesty for illegal aliens. It's not going to happen. The middle-of-the-road politicians are just not going to go along with it. The so-called Blue Dog Democrats who caved in on health care are not going to go along with the amnesty for illegal aliens. It's over. So that's good news. This debate going on in America now about Arizona is a long overdue debate. Both sides need to be heard. The end of it will be good for America, not bad for America. That's my opinion. And by the way, every poll I saw when this came up last time, a year or two ago, when the illegals also demanded various things and they went out on marches, here in California, which is a liberal Democrat state, unfortunately, even here, 70% of the voters want a crackdown on illegal aliens, and that goes across racial lines and party lines. We understand that this state is out of control because the illegitimate politicians do not represent the interests of the people, and the people want some protection from the illegal mobs. That's the absolute reality. Democrats want protection from the mobs, certainly, but they won't say it. They're afraid to be called bigots by their more progressive cohorts. Let's take the callers on the Savage Nation in a moment. But before we do, I want to follow up on the Gordon Brown thing. Here is the bumbling idiot, Gordon Brown, going and apologizing to the woman who he secretly called a bigot in clip five.
If you like, I'm a penitent sinner. Sometimes you say things that you don't mean to say. Sometimes you say things by mistake. And sometimes when you say things, you want to correct it very quickly. So I wanted to come here and say to Gillian, I was sorry to say that I've made a mistake, but to also say I understood the concerns that she was bringing to me, and I had simply misunderstood some of the words that she used. So I've made my apology. I've come here. It's been a chance to talk to Gillian about her family and about her relatives and about her own history and what she has done. But most of all, it's a chance for me to apologize and say sorry and to say that sometimes you do make mistakes and you use wrong words. And once you've used that word and you've made a mistake, you should withdraw it and say profound apologies. And that's what I've done.
From Winston Churchill to Gordon Brown in two generations, look what happened to England. Take a look at what happened to that country. From an articulate leader, Winston Churchill, to a bumbling, it sounds to me, a guy on, I don't know what his doctor put him on, but whatever he put him on, he's got to understand it's making him repeat the broken record, you know, over and over again. All right, I made my point. Let us take the callers. Florida first, you're up on the Savage Nation. Kathy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello. I would say that as far as politics go, I lean to the left, sorry to say, because I know you don't like them. But I'm all for what they're doing in Arizona. And my reasons is really not, I don't really care what people think in Mexico. I don't care what people think here in America. What they're doing with the immigrants coming over is ruining the environment, and that's kind of what I care more about. So if it stops them from coming across the desert and polluting it and destroying it and hurting the wildlife there, then something has to be done. That's just my point.
Well, it's all great to worry about ruining the desert and ruining the wildlife, but they're also killing police. And as you may or may not know, I don't know if you got this in your local college newspaper, a Good Samaritan rancher who was giving them water was killed by one of them a few weeks ago. And that was the final straw that broke the camel's back and unleashed this law finally. The people came out and said enough is enough. I don't know if you know about that.
I do, and I just want to make another point because I actually have been living with an Indian from a very poor reservation from North Dakota for 14 years now, and I just, since this is a topic about immigration to this country, the next time it's Columbus Day and everybody is celebrating Christopher Columbus.
All right, here we go. Thanks for the call. Right, let's put down Columbus now. Let's throw one in. All right, you did pretty good so far, but apparently the magic mushroom clicked in. The mescaline clicked in halfway through the conversation. She was able to hold it together, but now the mescaline is starting to sound like Gordon Brown. All right, let's go to the callers. Chuck is another caller from Chicago. Chuck, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Your your distorted and actually false depictions of Hispanic people really indicate that it's you who's trying to foment racial unrest.
So in other words, it's I who threw rocks at the police in Arizona?
If there were rocks thrown at the police in Arizona, they were thrown by some people. Just as you cautioned that Obama...
Some people? Wait a minute, sir. I can tell by your voice that you're full of crap. You don't even know what you're talking about because your local news will not show you the footage of the riots going on in Arizona. So before you start making accusations, you better get all the facts. I'm sure you think the Tea Parties are full of racists. Is that correct?
First of all, it's you who needs the facts. You're almost wrong about everything that you say.
Okay. I'm almost wrong, but I have the show, and you're an unknown, unemployed big mouth in Chicago with nothing to do but listen to talk radio in the afternoon.
Why don't you let me talk? You know why?
What is it that you do for a living? Let me ask you something. Do you have a job?
Yeah, I'm an academic.
Oh, I figured so. Great. So in other words, you're a public servant, and you live on the dole. You never held a private job in your life. You never produced a product or a service that anybody actually needed. Instead, you lord it over students, and if they don't listen to you, what do you do? Give them a D?
Debate me instead of using your...
I am not your student, sir, so don't try to talk down to me because I'll eat you up like a bonbon. You're now facing a real man. You don't face real men in your academic environment. So let's start with the facts. Now, show me where I'm wrong, factually. Let's put aside all of the argument. Where am I wrong?
We'll begin with a fact. Do you want to do it concerning Hispanics, or do you want to do it concerning any one of the many errors that you constantly
make? Let's talk about illegal immigration. Let's deal with something that's non-racial. Let's talk about illegal immigration. What do you know about the subject?
I know way more than you do. Now, first of all, you frequently...
I asked you what you know, so let's start with what you know. Wait a minute. What percentage of people in prison are illegal immigrants?
The percentage is not one-third, as you frequently bring
up. Yes, it is one-third. What are you going to tell me? No, none of our prisoners are here illegally?
No, that doesn't mean that it's not one-third. It's one-third of federal prisoners.
It is one-third of federal prisoners. That's correct. And what did they do to get into federal prison? What crimes did they commit?
Most of them are there for various immigration violations. That is
not true. Most of them are in there for drug dealing. You know that and I know that. Why is it that you're so soft on the dealing of black tar heroin? You certainly must read the New York Times. Even they ran the story 2 months ago showing the black tar heroin epidemic that is being disseminated throughout little towns in America. Does that not concern you for the students who go to college?
Unlike you, I really have read things. And I can tell you right now that what you are doing is, again, exaggerating and speaking illogically.
In other words, I nailed you to a cross, and now you're trying to tell me what I did wrong. All right, next case, Johnny, what else do you know that I don't know? Let's talk about something else since you're such an expert in immigration. I've studied for 16 straight years, so I'm not a Johnny-come-lately to the subject. So let's bring up another fact, and let's see who's right and who's wrong. How much money does the illegal immigrant community net produce for the United States of America?
How much money do they net produce? My guess is that what they do is provide a great deal of services.
My guess is, because you're a typical academic who doesn't really know anything about business, because you've never produced a product or a service that anybody actually needs. The facts, my friend, do not support your guess. The facts are quite to the opposite. There is a net loss of revenue in the United States of America as a direct result of the public services that they are getting for free. You certainly understand that if you go to a hospital or if you go to a school, you can see the costs are extraordinary.
My point is not to debate the immigration policy, and I would also wonder what your facts are on that. My point is that you are distorting in order to be able to defame a group of people.
All right, now you're going back to your university double talk. I'm defaming what? When I say that there is rock throwing and violence in Arizona by the illegal aliens, tell me what is incorrect about that.
You are defaming Hispanic people instead of debating.
You know, you're full of crap. I'm not one of your students, Johnny, so stop talking down to me. There is rock throwing and violence coming out of the mobs in Arizona right now. I'm not defaming anybody. I'm telling people what they're not seeing because the vermin in the media won't show the pictures.
You know, you constantly make the claim that the media won't tell people something, and sometimes when you make that claim, the thing that you say they're not telling is reported on the very news interim.
Oh, so wait a minute. So now you're admitting that you did see the Hispanics in Arizona throwing rocks.
No, I'm saying that if there were some Hispanics throwing rocks at the...
Of course not. That's absolutely true. So what do you make of the illegal immigrant who says they'll take up their shovels and axes and attack the American citizen with them? Is she also an anomaly?
Yes, there's one woman who said that. I think more than anything, those people are probably afraid. Now, don't get me wrong. I do think that the immigration policy is something that needs work in this country. I am not at all opposed to...
Professor, let me ask you something. Would you gladly give up your tenured professorship to an illegal immigrant?
There are not illegal immigrants seeking tenured professorships in this country.
Well, that's why you're able to sit there in your ivory tower with such incredible liberalness about illegal immigrants, because your job is not threatened. Is that correct?
That's not what the argument is here.
Oh, no, of course it's not the argument, because you won't permit it to become the argument. What about students who apply to your university for scholarships who are not citizens? Should they be entitled to scholarships, do you think?
No, I don't. I don't think the students should not be applying to schools for scholarships who are not citizens. I think there's a lot with immigration policy.
Should illegal immigrants be able to pay in-state tuition, or should they be forced to pay tuition as though they are not citizens, which they are not? I mean, I think you'd agree with me that universities are also businesses at the end of the day, and that even your job could be threatened if the budget doesn't support your salary. How in the world can we give in-state tuition to illegal immigrants, which is being done in Illinois and California? I think you'd agree with me on that one.
You know, I don't want to debate all sorts of specifics about the immigration policy, because in many cases I would agree that there are corrections that are necessary. The point here is that your distortion of Hispanic people is something that is not...
See, but you're the one who's distorting Hispanic people, not me. I have said nothing about Hispanic people. You're the one who said, from the time you entered this show, you've used the words Hispanic people at least six times. I have not used the words Hispanic people once. Why are you obsessed with these two words, Hispanic people?
What do you mean when you say that there's a race war brewing in the country? Who are you talking about?
I didn't say there's a race war brewing in the country. For a professor, you really need to be a little sharper in your listening. I realize that as professor, you generally don't listen, you only talk. I said, is Obama trying to spark a race war? That's a little different, is it not?
And who would be the participants of this race war?
Well, I don't know. Let's see what Obama said, and maybe you can answer it yourself. He said, I think a lot of white men are leaving Obama in droves, according to what I read. He didn't say that, but do you know what Obama said? He said, it will be up to each of you to make sure that the young people, African Americans, Latinos and women, who powered our victory in 08, stand together once again. So he left out white men. Why would Obama have done that?
Well, again, I'm not sure what the context of that conversation is, and that isn't really what the issue is here. I don't think that you could extract from that comment that he is turning his back on all white men. And I think that you would fixate on something like that is more indicative of you than anything
else. I think
else.
You're fixating on Hispanic people, aren't you? You're the one who said Hispanic people over and over again. I said white male once.
Do you really think it is not rational or pertinent to talk about Hispanic people, given what your subject is here?
What is it that you're saying about Hispanic people? I still haven't heard it.
Let me start once again. I am saying that your frequent distortion of facts and illogical depiction of arguments would seem to foment racial unrest.
Okay, so what is it that's illogical in what I've said?
The extraction of...
That one out of three prisoners in federal lockup are illegal immigrants. We agreed on that. Is that correct? So where's the distortion? We both agreed that it's one out of three. It's 30% of federal prisoners are illegal aliens.
And you usually present that as one out of three prisoners. You never used a qualifier in federal prisons. As you're aware...
All right, well, now you agree that it's in federal prisons. It's probably much higher in local prisons.
No, probably much higher
in county prisons. So why are so many hospitals closing along the border with Mexico? Isn't it because the illegal immigrants have utilized services to which they're not entitled?
Listen, you simple-minded fraud.
In other words, I got you. Now you're reverting like Gordon Brown to the rat you really are. You see, you started using bad names, you bum. I nailed you to a cross. I pity the children who sit in your class, you bum. I'd like to bum you. You should be thrown out of the university. You should give your job to an illegal alien, you rat bum you. I'll be back.
Savage.
Well, May 1st, as you well know, is this weekend, and the illegal immigrant hordes are going to come out in the streets, as you well know, in 70 cities, showing their peaceful nature. Let us hope that their communist May Day rallies remain peaceful, but I doubt it. I doubt very much whether this is going to be a walk in the sun, as the communist left hopes. And I believe that this could have been stopped if our wonderful leader, Obama, had done the diplomatic thing and said, while I disagree with the law in Arizona, I understand why the people passed it. We in the federal government have not done our job. We have a problem. We have to do a better job at protecting the people. But he didn't say that. Instead, he attacked the people of the state of Arizona. He is going to unleash his attorney general on the governor of Arizona as though they have no right to their own jurisprudence and to their own protection. We had a caller in the last segment, a so-called academic, who tried to act rational as though he was rational, but he really wasn't. And you may not have heard the last interchange. All I asked him was at the end, why are the hospitals on the border closing down? Isn't it because the illegal immigrants have taken services that they're not entitled to? That's when he got insulting, and I then insulted him, and that was the end of that. Yes, my friends, the facts are quite unpleasant. The illegal immigrants are costing this country a tremendous amount of money. They're not net producers of revenue for the nation. There is a net outflow of money. This has been studied and studied and studied. I'll get you the exact data. I'm not going to give you a number, but I'll throw a number I know. Last year, $15 billion was sent back to Mexico. None of it was taxed. You didn't see a nickel of it, did you?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Más, la nación de Savage, solamente aquí.
Yeah, well, come on, a little music to go with it. I mean, we're talking about the heated debate going on across America over the... Thank you, Arizona law. The Bolsheviks in the universities are happy because now they can rally behind their brethren from Mexico. Of course, if you ask them if they'd give up their job to one of their brethren in Mexico... They say, well, no illegal is here to be a professor. Of course not. That's why they're their friends. A little music, sir. Thank you very much. All right. Now, let's go back to the basics here. Obama's election year pitch leaves out white males. That's number one. He's appealing to his core base, which are not white males. And now we have this huge issue of the Arizona law. And, you know, I don't have to spell it out for you all over again. You know what's at stake. You know that it's not a racist law. You know that it's a law to stop the lawbreakers in plain English. Let's be clear. The law was long overdue because the government has ceased doing its job as a government. The primary role of any government is to protect the people. This government, the Bush government, the Clinton government, ceased protecting the American people with regard to illegal aliens. I go a step further, but we're not going to talk about other issues of national security at this time. We're going to focus on the issue of national insecurity and the borders in particular. As you well know, since I began in radio in 1994, I have had a simple credo, which is borders, language, and culture. Borders, language, and culture. My statement was that a nation is defined by borders, language, and culture. A nation is defined by its borders, by its language and its culture. This has been true from the beginning of time. And it is still true, by the way, for most nations on Earth. But it is not true for the Western democracies, which have ceased to be Western or democracies. They are run by oligarchies, manipulated by money changers, and we'll leave it at that. If you adhere to the original notion of what a leader is supposed to do, our guardians are supposed to dedicate themselves entirely to the maintenance of freedom in the state, according to Plato's Republic. They're supposed to dedicate themselves wholly to the maintenance of freedom in the state. Can you honestly say that Obama, and before him Bush, and before him Clinton, dedicated themselves wholly to the maintenance of freedom in the United States of America? Is that why they broke our borders with Mexico wide open? Is that why Bush opened the door to Mexico and let millions come in? Is that why Bush, let us say, took the door off its hinges? Is that why Obama now is siding with the non-citizen rather than the citizen? May Day plan for rallies in 70 cities, it says. They're going to go out in 70 cities, as they did a few years ago, by the way, and it backfired on them. If you don't remember, I do remember. I was an actual victim of one of the rallies here in San Francisco. The mobs of illegal aliens were rounded up by the illegitimate supervisors in the city of San Francisco, and they marched outside a radio station that I broadcast in at that time, calling for my ouster. And all it did was increase my audience, because maybe 90% of the listeners agreed with everything I said with regard to illegal immigration, even though they may have disagreed with me on many other points. Every poll in this country shows that the largest majority of people want a stop to the scourge of illegal immigration. They want it stopped. I don't have to spell out to you over and over again what the issues are. You've heard it ad nauseum. The Arizona law is perfectly legitimate. It's perfectly legal. The federal government can do anything they want. It'll go to the federal government, and the federal government will lose. And the reason the federal government will lose, in my opinion, is because there are still states' rights. Obama has not yet become Papa Doc Duvalier. He is now still only Junior Doc Obama. He has not yet become Papa Doc Duvalier, where states' rights have been obliterated. There are states' rights. States have a right to defend themselves and protect their citizens. The federal government de facto has failed to protect the citizens from the scourge of illegal aliens. The state stepped in and did so. The Supreme Court will support the state. So forget all of the posturing. Obama knows he's going to lose at the Supreme Court, which is why he may not even pull out that card. So what is it you want to talk about? I raised another issue. All of you lovers of illegal immigrants who think that you're defending people. Well, let me ask you again. How does the Mexican government treat illegal immigrants who try to sneak in from Guatemala? Well, I'll tell you, because I happen to know. I know Mexicans and I know Guatemalans. I actually speak to Mexicans and Guatemalans, sometimes in Spanish, mostly in English, and they tell me real stories of what goes on. If a Guatemalan is caught sneaking across the border, he is either beaten severely and taken back across the border, or he is held up for a ransom by the police, or he is shot dead on the side of the road. That is how illegal immigrants are treated by the very same Mexican government, which is claiming that we're being racist by trying to stop the tide of illegal immigrants in this country. Now, in the last hour, I had a so-called academic call the show and say I was distorting the facts. And after the dust settled, I said, let's go down the facts. He agreed with me that one out of three federal prisoners is here illegally. We didn't argue over that. It came to a head after 10 minutes of going back and forth when I said to him, why do you think so many hospitals on the border with Mexico are closing? Isn't it because the illegal aliens are taking services that they're not entitled to? That's when he started to start the name calling, and it ended, because that's what it comes down to. We can't afford this anymore. It's over. The people have spoken. Let's go to the people of the Savage Nation and take your calls. Virginia LaVon, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind, LaVon?
Gentlemen, he needs to get his facts straight. Every time that you speak about illegal aliens, you say illegal aliens. You've never said Hispanics. In fact, illegal aliens consist of Africans, people from Middle Eastern countries, people from India, people from Germany, people from...
Yes, but yes, that is all true, but the majority of illegal aliens are of Hispanic descent. He knows that. That's why he was obsessed with the words Hispanic people. I didn't use the words Hispanic people. He did. because the majority of illegal aliens are Hispanic.
That's correct. But what I'm trying to say is that they need to go ahead and close down the borders to illegal aliens. And my thing is, they're coming in here, they're committing crimes, bringing drugs, polluting our neighborhoods with these drugs that they bring over here, killing our children.
That is absolutely true. Even the liberal, the uber-liberal New York Times ran a series about the black tar heroin epidemic that is being spread in small communities throughout America by one group of, excuse me, by townspeople of a particular town in rural Mexico who are selling this very inexpensive heroin to the young people of America, and the police can't stop them because they're doing it everywhere across America. That's because we're a nation of patsies who are afraid to stand up to the lawbreakers. And now Arizona stood up to the murderers and the drug dealers. Even the governor has said we can't take the drug dealers anymore. They're running wild in the streets. So which side are the liberals on? They're on the side of drug dealing. You know that. Drugs, sex, and rock and roll is their credo. My credo is borders, language, and culture. To the liberal professor, the credo is quite different. It's not borders, language, and culture. It's drugs, sex, and rock and roll. New York City, WOR. Anna, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I was traveling in Mexico 5 years ago on the equivalent of a Greyhound bus from Oaxaca to Mexico City. I am also, by the way, a proud American of Latina descent from Puerto Rico. Anyway, we were driving, and the bus was pulled over, and two military men entered the bus. They were fully armed with some kind of automatic weapon, something that looked like machine guns slung over their arms. And they went one behind each other. They looked left, and they looked right at every single section of that bus, including me. They pointed their guns at us. I was terrified. They went through the entire bus. They eventually took off three men from the bus, and we were sitting there for, I'd say, about 20 minutes. And then they came back, and they said they told the bus driver, but the bus driver told us that they were, I assumed it was a drug bus, so that was that. It was actually illegal immigrants from Guatemala, and he said that that's often what they have to do.
Well, all right, so they simply arrested them, or you don't know what they did to the Guatemalans.
All I'm saying is that it was absolutely intense. Like, the, you know, they would, if that happened in this country, they would have a lawsuit for every, you know, every single person would file a lawsuit.
Well, eventually the lawyers are going to have to be arrested. These lawyers, these vermin who prey on the American people are going to have to be reined in. We need tort reform in the worst possible way. They're out of control. They're the worst lice in the country. But let's not go into that. Let's stick to this. Yes, Mexico cracks down on illegal immigrants very severely. They use their military to do so. And the police, as you well know, are corrupt in Mexico by and large. They either beat the immigrant, or if they have no money, they might actually kill them. If they have money, they might let them through the country. I happen to know a gentleman from Guatemala, a very nice man, who told us about his saga coming from Guatemala through Mexico to Los Angeles. And what a hell of a story it really is. You talk about a saga. It's unbelievable what this man from Guatemala had to do. He said when he was caught on a railroad track in Mexico, the police asked him if he had any money. Luckily, he had enough money to give them. Someone he was traveling with did not have the money. He said they beat him almost to death and left him to die on the railroad tracks. I mean, it's a tragic, horrendous story. We can all relate to this. But the point is, how in the world can you accept the validity of a Mexican government that tells us that we are not in our rights to defend our own borders when they defend their borders so strictly? That's the issue. But now let's get down to brass tacks. I'll ask you another question. This flashpoint in Arizona is supposedly going to produce marches in 70 cities this weekend for the communist holiday of May Day. Many of you don't know that May Day is a communist celebration. It's when the red flags were run, when the military weaponry was displayed in Moscow. Many of you don't even know the history of it, but okay, I don't blame you. I blame your academics who misled you your entire lives. So May Day is not a holiday to celebrate. It's a holiday to shun. The illegals will be out in the streets with their communist leaders. And we know, we all know, see hate. You're going to see red flags. You're going to see Palestinian flags. You're going to see the zany left marching amongst them with their campaigns. I believe what this is going to do is galvanize the average American voter to vote against the Democrats in greater numbers than ever. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Sort of Nazism a little bit.
Come on.
I don't want to overstate it, but may I see your papers, you know?
That's a human squid on CNN saying that the law in Arizona is like Nazism. That's something you'd expect from a human squid who grew up on Seltzer and the Daily Forwards, I guess. I really don't understand the mind of these people. I really don't understand it at all. But then again, I live in a strange nation that gets stranger by the day. For example, the other day, I think it was yesterday, Carl Levin was screaming and yelling at Goldman Sachs. And this is the man who's the head of the Armed Services Committee. He refuses to hold hearings on the Fort Hood massacre. Again, I mentioned something about him for you to look up. I want you to look up the Habitat Company, which came up yesterday on the show. The Habitat Company is owned by his cousins. Dan Levin is Senator Carl Levin's cousin. And the Habitat Company is the most politically connected real estate developer in the city of Chicago, owning thousands of apartments, many blighted and disrepair, rented out to low-income families. They got contracts in the millions to manage public housing, receive millions in federal money, and they've been characterized as slum landlords. Yes, my friends, now you understand who Carl Levin really is. So don't fall for the baloney that he's Mr. Down with the People. He cares about the poor. This is a man who has his finger in a lot of pies. Let's put it to you that way, in my opinion. Investigate the Habitat Company before you accuse me of making this up. And then you'll understand why I have nothing but contempt for Carl Levin and every other fraudulent liberal who pretends that they care about the poor and pretends that they care about the illegal alien. And now I'm getting down to what I'm getting down to. Most of the liberals who are oh so concerned about illegal aliens and their human rights benefit directly or indirectly from the illegal alien one way or the other. Or they are simply academics who don't really understand anything. Academics who live inside ivory towers, who have never produced a service or a product that anybody actually needs, who don't know how to balance a checkbook, let alone balance a budget, are all in favor of illegal immigrants. But if you ask them, would you give up your job to an illegal immigrant, as I did to a caller several calls ago, he says, well, illegal immigrants don't come here to get academic jobs. So that's why he's able to be so, magnanimous about illegal aliens, because his job isn't threatened. Well, my job isn't threatened either. Or is it? Let me tell you something. If I ever disclose to you things about the radio business that are directly impacted by illegal aliens, you'd be quite shocked, but I can't do so because certain things are restricted in radio. You don't know it, but your life is being impacted by illegal aliens in every way. In everything that you do, whether it's going to a motor vehicle bureau, whether it's going to get a loan, whether it's your child applying to get into a university and being given, even if she got straight A's, being put at the back of the class or such because she's, let's say, of Caucasian descent or of European-American descent, if you prefer that one, if it's less racially charged, they're given, even though they have straight A's, let's say, a secondary chance at scholarships and admission to individuals of particular countries of origin. Wherever you look, your country is definitely favoring illegal aliens over you. One way or the other, it is affecting you. And believe me, although the illegal aliens now take jobs that most Americans won't, at least that's the popular line, the day will soon come that they'll be after jobs that you hold. And so this is long overdue. This Arizona law is now going to spread. It's going to metastasize. Already they're calling for the same law in Texas and in Alabama. They want to eliminate ballots in all these languages. Good news. Good news. Back to the Savage Nation. Let me tell you my story before I tell you the story of the Savage Nation on immigration, because if you think I'm just another immigrant basher, think again. I happen to be the son of an immigrant. I was born in New York City in an immigrant home. We had a little apartment in the Bronx. My father worked his way up from selling things in the street on a push cart to having his own little store. He was never wealthy, but he was never poor, and he always managed to support his family. So I want to repeat again, I am the son of an immigrant. I'm actually a first-generation American, and proudly so. And I've worked for everything that I have. And I'm not giving my country away without a fight. And that's what you better start doing, because you've given your country away without a fight. Now, if you go back to the series of books that I've written, all bestsellers, The Savage Nation, Saving America from the Liberal Assault on Our Borders, Language, and Culture. The next in the series was, many of them, every book had a big piece of it was about immigration. Next one was The Enemy Within. The third one in the series was Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. And I want to read you something. It's a short paragraph or two. Not only are we allowing a deluge of illegals to flow across the border, I wrote in 2004, we often tie the hands of the men and women whose job it is to defend our national security. As I was working on this book, I came across an article that sickened me. It's about the story of Richard Gonzalez, Luis Gomez, and Carlos Reña, three U.S. immigration officers who had made thousands of arrests without prior incident. Notice that their names are of Hispanic descent. Richard Gonzalez, Luis Gomez, and Carlos Reña, three U.S. immigration officers who had made thousands of arrests without prior incident. These hardworking, uncorruptible men were fined and sentenced to jail. What was their crime? They failed to give timely medical treatment to an illegal alien who had been injured during a raid. Does it get any more upside down than this? U.S. District Judge Lee Rosenthal obviously had her head up her robe. This fraud of a judge refused to accept the testimony of Officer Gonzalez, a veteran border agent, when he said he believed the victim was faking an injury. You've got to remember, these guys see everything on the front lines. The faked injuries, the bogus excuses, the forged identities. Instead, Judge Rosenthal sent these officers to jail. But wait, that's not all. The family of the illegal alien proceeded to sue our government in federal court and in turn won $2.15 million. Now tell me, I wrote, how can an illegal alien, who by definition has no right to be inside our country, be permitted to sue us? Tell me how would that illegal alien have been treated in his own town if he had been caught breaking the law? Tell me this country isn't being broken every day by the mental disorder of liberalism. People with twisted thinking should be placed in a straitjacket, I wrote. And so there it is. I mean, I have seen this problem for years. I've talked about it for years. I've tried to point out the tragedy of illegal immigration for years. To no avail. It's gotten worse, not better. And now we have a president who has taken the doors to Mexico and thrown them into into Galveston Bay. What we need is to bring our military home from Germany and put them on the border with Mexico. What we need is to bring our other huge military presence on the border with South Korea and let them take care of their own problems and put them on the border with Mexico. That's our real problem. We don't have a problem really with North Korea. We don't have a problem with Russia. We have a problem right now with illegal immigrants who are running over the land. And any nation that is sovereign must defend its borders or else it ceases to be a sovereign nation, which is exactly what the illegitimate international socialists want. They want the sovereignty of America to go away. That's why they pointedly have melted down the borders, diluted the language, and have decimated the culture. That is my opinion. Now I'll take the calls. David in Wisconsin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I really enjoyed the call from the academic. It was like a one-sided boxing match. You kind of fake a little bit with a feeble left punch, and then you'd crack him a good one. I could just see him reeling back. He didn't know you were a heavyweight. He just kind of got in there and thought he could do something.
I don't know. I didn't feel sad for him. He was a pompous fellow, and I'm sure he bosses his students around. That's why I didn't like his tone.
Yeah, I thought you were quite polite. You just weren't taking any false arguments from the guy. So,
it's typical liberalism. Whenever they lose a point, they go on to another point without acknowledging that they lost the point. But I appreciate you enjoying that. Thank you. I speak for the millions of people who have been made silent by our government. This is a show for those who have been made voiceless by our government and by our government media complex. I can guarantee you that most of the Hispanic citizens of the United States of America happen to agree with me. I know it for a fact. I've seen poll after poll. Most Hispanic citizens have had enough of the illegal aliens. They're not their friends. They don't want them here. In fact, the impact upon the legal Hispanic citizen is even greater than it is upon the Caucasian citizen, incidentally. But that's it's another discussion for another time. But nobody ever interviews those individuals, just as you never hear from an African-American who detests the race hustlers, you never hear from them. You never hear from them at all. They're never allowed to speak because the media has blacked them out. It's the same with the Hispanics who support the laws in Arizona. In fact, I think over the next few days, you're going to start to see news people interviewing legitimate citizens of Arizona who actually support the law, who they themselves are of Hispanic descent. You're going to see that coming up. I think that's inevitable because the people are not going to be bottled up and shut up for very long. This can't go on forever. It cannot go on forever. And I think it's wonderful and long overdue. San Francisco, Jeremy, thanks for calling the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, I totally want to support Arizona, and I am American-Mexican, or Mexican, yes, and I just called to support Arizona.
I hear you, and I got to tell you something else. You know, I go to restaurants where most of the workers are of Hispanic descent. I can't say I know what every one of them thinks on every issue with to do with immigration. I know that some of them come up to me, and they want to give me food for free, which I won't accept. Just as a general principle, I won't accept it in restaurants. But the fact is that they understand that my values are their values. They're family-oriented. They believe in God. They protect their children. Every one of the values that I express on this show so repeatedly, they respect as well, and they appreciate that. And they also appreciate a man willing to speak out for his own nation with some passion and with some love. You don't understand this, do you? And that's because most of you don't even love your nation. You don't even know you have one. Most of you despicable, spineless liberals don't even know that you live in a nation that is sovereign. Most of you consider yourselves citizen of the world. Well, if I could, my good friends, I wish only that you would travel to that world and not come back to this nation. This nation has a name. This nation has a border, has a set of borders. This nation has a language, and this nation has a cultural foundation. And if you don't like it, why don't you move to Denmark? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. This is a very, very, very incendiary issue. I realize it. I didn't cover it for years because I felt it had fallen by the wayside. I generally don't cover the immigration story. People weren't interested in it anymore. I became bored with it. The Arizona law has changed everything. Why? Because the illegitimate scum on the left have made it so. The illegitimate scum on the left are calling the people of Arizona racist. You're saying that the 70% of Arizonans who support it are all racist? Would that include Hispanics themselves and black people and Indian people who support the law because they see what decimation has occurred to their state? What kind of statement is that? I used to get that when I first started in radio. Oh, you're a bigot and everyone who listens to your show is a bigot. Now, how in the world can you speak for everyone who listens to this show? How would you know? First of all, half the people who listen to the show don't agree with everything I say. So they're bigots also? It's absurd to make sweeping statements like that. Let me make the sweeping statements. You stick to your point of view and try to prove me wrong. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. There are many, many other topics to talk about, but I believe immigration is going to become the key issue now in 2010. I mean, certainly the economy is the biggest issue, and the fact that the jobs never came back, and that the economy, the economic recovery, so to speak, is built on a house of cards. I mean, you want me to talk about debt? Forget credit default swaps. Do you want to really talk about debt? Do you want to really talk about the frightening position the U.S. dollar is in and the fact that we have no foundation for our currency and that we're living on borrowed time and borrowed money and that there's only a false recovery based upon money that is being printed by the administration in order to make you think that there's been a recovery? We can go into that, too, if you'd like. I mean, you know, economics are what this is all about. In fact, immigration is all about economics. If it wasn't about economics, you wouldn't have such powerful interests as Wall Street and the Wall Street Journal supporting illegal immigration. You don't know that, do you? The Wall Street Journal, which you would think would be against illegal immigration, has long been in favor of illegal immigration. They are under the mistaken notion that illegal immigrants are of a direct benefit to the country itself. Well, when you look around, you say, well, who would take these jobs? And that's a good argument. It's a good question to raise. Who would take the jobs? You see who does the hard labor. The American people have become lazy. They don't want to work. The reason they become lazy is because of the welfare state. Who do you think took these jobs before? Let us go back in time to post-Great Depression. Who was it who Steinbeck wrote about in The Grapes of Wrath? Was it people from Mexico? Was it people from Africa? It was about white people from Oklahoma who got after the Dust Bowl, meaning these tornadoes that hit the Oklahoma farms, and the topsoil was swept away, the white farmers who had nothing left, because there was no government support, they got in their rickety trucks, they packed the mattresses and the beds and the chickens and the kids, and they went to California, and the only jobs they could find were menial jobs, and they became grape pickers in the Central Valley. Horrible, backbreaking work. And I know some of you listening to this show are descended from hardworking people who lived through the Great Depression, who did these horrible jobs. My point, though, is that the jobs were taken by the poor whites because those were the only jobs available. Now, when you then have a burgeoning welfare state that's around, that developed its real engines of power during Lyndon Baines Johnson's so-called Great Society, which was really communist light. The great welfare state that we have now is the reason that illegal aliens are being ushered into America and have been for the last 20 years. It's because the poorest people in America who normally would do these jobs are living on the government dole. You take away the government dole, and then you will find that the people will have to work. And tell me what jobs they are equipped for. There are only a few jobs that they can do. Those are the jobs in the meatpacking plants and on the farms and in the hotels, etc., that they will have to take if they want to feed themselves. Is this unheard of? It's common sense. A good leader would do this stage by stage. He would cut back on welfare a certain percent a year until it dried up altogether. He would do these things gradually until we restored the nation. It is not too late for a doctor to come in and save this country. Unfortunately, looking around the landscape, I do not see any oncologist who can save the patient called America. I shall return.
Savage.
The illegitimate leftist media screaming, furor grows over Arizona's illegal immigration law. An attorney general may challenge the immigration law. This is unbelievably long overdue. Let him challenge it is all I can say. I want to go back to the impact of illegal immigration on our teenagers. If you look back upon your life, and I'm a little older than many of the listeners, I had menial jobs as a teenager. I was a busboy. I don't know how many. I worked at an ice cream factory. I could never get those jobs today if I were a kid. Who is it who used to wash cars and wash boats in this country? Teenagers. Who is it who used to work at county fairs? Teenagers. Do you realize that the illegal immigrants have taken up every job that teenagers used to take, thereby weakening or destroying the work ethic in this country? I don't blame the illegal immigrants. It's a national problem that has not been solved. That the illegal immigrants want the work and the employers want the labor. The kids don't know how to work and won't work. They won't wash a car. They won't wash a boat. They'd rather stay home and smoke marijuana, et cetera. They don't know how to work. They go to college. They come out. They can't add, read, or write. And yet they want to run the company. You know the problems. We've all hired kids who've just come out of college. They're virtually incapable of doing anything. We know that. Why is that? How come by the time I got out of college, I could do certain things? The answer is because I worked from the time I was 5 years old in one job or another. I held menial jobs. I told you I worked in factories. Look it up. It's real. Busboy, waiter, lifeguard, you name it, I did it. Gas stations. I don't even remember the jobs. 11 years old, I remember I lost in a card game. I was afraid to go home. I thought my father would yell at me. What'd I lose, $20, $18? I don't know what, $9? I took a job washing dishes in a local luncheonette up on Queens on Union Turnpike in the street in Queens. My father called the police. He didn't know where I was. I didn't call home. I wanted to come home with the money and tell him I lost the money and took a job, and I wanted to show him that I was able to take care of myself. He was proud of me. He didn't get mad at me. The fact is, we took these jobs because they were available to us. The country was not swimming with non-citizens who are desperate for work and took the work instead of us. So teenagers took jobs that were available in candy stores or wherever they may be. And so what I'm saying to you is take a look at the effects. I don't think anyone's covered this in any great detail. It's an interesting topic for a sociologist to cover if he's a balanced sociologist. I don't know how many of them are left. But the impact of illegal immigration on America's teens' working habits or work ethic per se is a hell of a topic for somebody to write for a master's thesis. Unfortunately, you'll never get it approved at your socialist university. The only thing you could write that on would be to show how illegal immigrants helped your child become a drug addict. Then if you could show that in a positive manner, that it moved more children to discover the inner drug addict in themselves, I'm sure it would get approved by your thesis committee, but the other one wouldn't. Well, that's it for this subject. I don't want to beat this up. It's going to get bigger by the day, by the way. It's going to get bigger because we have a man who's not the leader of the country leading the country. We have a man who could have stopped this if he really wanted to stop it. All he had to do was act like a leader and come out from behind his lectern and his teleprompters and say, while I don't agree with the law that was passed in Arizona, I understand the frustration of the citizens of the state. They are a sovereign state. There are states' rights in the country. And although I disagree with the law, I'm sure that the police are going to do a fine job, and they're being trained to do a fine job. There's absolutely not racism involved. And we're going to do a much better job as a federal government in controlling the flood of drugs and illegal aliens into Arizona. But he didn't do that. Instead, he came out like the demagogue he is, like the inexperienced demagogue, community activist that he is, like the Marxist-Leninist internationalist that he is. And right away, he threatened to sue the state of Arizona for passing their own laws. So that's the kind of situation that we have. And we'll have to watch it play itself out. I believe at the end of the day, it's going to be good for the American people to finally have a national discussion on this, the most important of all issues. It ties into everything else in your life. Illegal immigration impacts the economy. Illegal immigration impacts the hospitals and health care. Illegal immigration impacts the prison population and the crime in this country, as you well know. Whatever you touch in this country is related to illegal immigration in one way or another. And yet it's a topic that has not been discussed. It was banned from the last debate. In fact, the last presidential debate between McCain and Obama, if I remember correctly, immigration did not come up. Why? Because the baggy-eyed Bolshevik who ran it, the left-wingers in the media who were given the power to determine what the American people could hear or not hear, chose not to use the I word. So immigration was not even discussed. Well, it's too bad right now because the horse is out of the barn. That's all America's talking about. Are you for or against the law in Arizona? And the more people talk about it, the more they're going to find out that most Americans say enough is enough. There are too many illegals. They're too brazen. They account for too much of the crime. They have decimated our schools and hospitals. There are too many illegal aliens committing felonies there in our prisons, and we have to do something about it, and the federal government won't. Therefore, the states must. And I believe what has happened in Arizona is going to start to happen in one state after the other. In fact, right now, a state senator in Texas wants to bring the Arizona law to Texas. Soon there will be a brave congressman in the a brave state senator in California who will dare stand up to the illegal alien mobs and try to get this through, because the budget in California, no one even knows what the deficit is. It's $15 to $20 billion. Could be cleaned up in 1 year if the illegal aliens were forced to pay their way in our schools and our hospitals. That's the truth. That's the reality. Everybody knows it. But the illegitimate, frankly, are grinding us down with their lies. And remember that they own the media, but they don't own the Savage Nation. Just remember that. I'm an independent voice. I'm the son of an immigrant. God bless America.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Never put me with something. whose idea was that?
No, I didn't see
her. Soon, I think. You're just ridiculous.
I'm not sure they'll be in with that one.
They will go in.
What did she say?
Ugh, everything. She's just this old bigoted woman.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now.
That is what you said. She not allowed to express her view to you?
Of course she's allowed to express her view, and I was saying that. The problem was that I was dealing with a question that she raised about immigration, and I wasn't given a chance to answer it.
All the lies we were told, all the lives of the people running round their castles are burned.
Gordon Brown, the bungling Bolshevik from England, who has banned Britain from Great Britain. He's not quite gotten through yet, and has not yet banned English from being spoken in Britain. This bumbling socialist laborite was caught on microphone in his Jaguar after a rally, calling a poor old woman who dared ask him a question about deficit spending and about illegal immigrants running across England and about welfare for immigrants. He dared call her a bigoted old woman. He didn't know that the mic was connected to his lapel. So they're saying this is it. And now he's gone back to grovel to the woman he called bigoted. Well, let me tell you something. This is the man who banned me, Michael Savage, from England in order to balance out the banning of Muslim murderers and terrorists. He banned an American talk show host. This is the man who tightened the vice grip of socialism on a once great Britain. This is a man who wants the voters of Britain to keep him as prime minister. Well, as I said to you, unaware that his microphone was still on after a staged street rally, he termed an elderly woman a bigot because she dared to ask why so many immigrants were settling in her town. And though he went back and apologized over and over again, it's clear that when the British public votes on May 6th, about a week from now, Brown will finally be thrown out where he belongs. Now, why is this important to you, the American listener of the Savage Nation? Because the real citizens of England see, just as you do, that they're being overrun by an onslaught of illegal immigrants that cannot and will not assimilate into their nation. The woman that Gordon Brown insulted has for her entire life voted for his party, the left-wing Labour Party. And yet even she could see through them. She could see that the leftists she helped put in power, our Democrats, had betrayed her, just as many of the American Democrats are seeing, even though they voted for Obama, that he has betrayed them. And what exactly was it that the 66-year-old woman said that caused Gordon Brown to call her a bigot? Well, she said she was being taxed too much. She said that the British government was taking on too much debt. She said there are too many people who can get on welfare who don't need it. And she wondered where all the immigrants were coming from. For these questions, she was called a bigot by this sellout loudmouth, Gordon Brown. Well, it sounds to me that she agrees with most of my listeners. But for those stands, Gordon Brown labeled her a bigot. Because anyone who supports anything less than open borders is smeared as a racist by the illegitimate left. Anyone who criticizes welfare is called a biased, a bigot. Anyone who says that it taxes too much is an evil capitalist pig. That's what the illegitimate left thinks of real British people. That's what the illegitimate Obama left thinks of real Americans. The left tries to cover up the violence of illegal immigrants here in America, in Arizona, but they refuse to cover the violent threats that are occurring and threatening, by the way, as you're going to hear, to take up their shovels and the axes and the tools that they use in our gardens to take them up against us. Have you heard that on your television set? No, that's because the illegitimate in the American media are covering up the real violence coming not from the Tea Parties, but from the illegal immigrants and their communist white controllers. I believe, though, that the day is coming when the real people of England and the real people of America will kick out the real bigots of England and the real bigots of America. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of the bungling Bolshevik Brown besmirches bigoted Britain monologue. Did you hear what the socialist Prime Minister of England, Gordon Brown, said this week? He dared call a British grandmother a bigot behind closed doors simply because she dared ask a question about immigration. Here's what the woman asked.
You can't say anything about the immigrants because you're saying that you're right. But all these Eastern Europeans, what are Where are they flocking from?
A million people come from Europe, but a million people, British people, have gone into Europe. You do know there's a lot of British people staying in Europe as well.
And here's what the socialist Gordon Brown said about her when he thought he was off mic.
She never put me with that woman. Whose idea was that?
No, I didn't see her.
Soon, I think. It's just ridiculous.
Not sure they'll be able to go with that one.
They will go with it.
What did she say?
Ugh, everything. She's just this old bigoted woman.
What a horrible thing to say. An older woman sees the truth about the immigrants in England, and he attacks her? Shame on you, Gordon Brown. Well, I would say he should resign immediately, but what does he do? He bungles his way through a half-hearted apology. Listen to this now.
If you like, I'm a penitent sinner. Sometimes you say things that you don't mean to say. Sometimes you say things by mistake. And sometimes when you say things, you want to correct it very quickly. So I wanted to come here and say to Gillian, I was sorry to say that I'd made a mistake, but to also say I understood the concerns that she was bringing to me, and I had simply misunderstood some of the words that she used. So I've made my apology. I've come here. It's been a chance to talk to Gillian about her family and about her relatives and about her own history and what she has done. But most of all, it's a chance for me to apologise and say sorry and to say that sometimes you do make mistakes and you use wrong words. And once you've used that word and you've made a mistake, you should withdraw it and say profound apologies, and that's what I've done.
And what an idiot. And what do they call people who ask questions about immigrants in the United States? Nazis.
Well, Arizona has a new immigration law, and to call it controversial would be to underestimate it. It requires police to stop an individual if there is reasonable suspicion that he or she is in this country illegally. Critics say the law will make Arizona feel more like World War II Germany than a part of the United States. Doesn't it feel like sort of Nazism a little bit?
Well, I mean, come on.
I don't want to overstate it, but may I see your papers, you know?
And what's worse is that the illegals at these rallies are actually threatening violence against us. That's right. They all come here to work, do they? Listen.
We will not stop. We will take up our shovels and our pickaxes and we break the land and make your landscaping and clean your toilets and our planters. We will use them against you. Believe that.
Did you hear that? She said they're going to take up their shovels and axes and use them against us. But the media accuses the Tea Parties of violence. And guess which side Obama is on?
You can try to make it really tough on people who look like they, quote unquote, might be illegal immigrants. One of the things that the law says is local officials are allowed to ask somebody who they have a suspicion might be a legal immigrant for their papers. But you can imagine if you are a Hispanic American in Arizona, your great grandparents may have been there before Arizona was even a state. If you don't have your papers and you took your kid out to get ice cream, you're going to be harassed. You know, we can try to crack down, but the truth is that 11 to 12 million folks, we're going to have to make them take responsibility for what they did. I will bring the majority of Democrats to the table in getting this done. I've got to have some help from the other side because we're not going to solve this problem. It can be exploited for political purposes. I'm going to continue to advocate on behalf of finally fixing this system so that we don't have either the kind of bad laws that we've seen in Arizona.
But what about the real bad laws that allow Obama cronies like Carl Levin to attack Goldman Sachs when they're really just following the laws that he himself voted for? What do you think of that?
As you say, if clients believe we don't deserve their trust, you're not going to survive. Those are the ringing words you give us in your opening statement. Given that kind of a history here, going heavily short in the market, but then on these specific examples, to be betting against the very securities which you're selling to your clients, and internally, your own people believe that these are crappy securities. How do you expect to deserve the trust of your clients, and is there not an inherent conflict here?
All right, I'll be right back.
Savage.
The vast majority of people I have seen are, you know, over 50, white, wet men and women. There are individuals who are Latino or African American. That's absolutely not the predominant presence here.
Once again, the left-wing media is using racial tension as a means to push its own agenda. whether they're incorrectly labeling the Tea Parties as racist or saying that Arizona's new immigration law is racial profiling, the media is ignoring the facts and trying to split the country again. Joining us now is Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, who is running for Congress in Florida and knows quite a bit on what the Tea Parties actually stand for. Colonel West, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on, and greetings to you and your listening audience.
Well, what do you see with the Tea Parties?
Well, what I see going on there are just very concerned American citizens who are doing exactly what the First Amendment says, and they're redressing their government with their grievances. And I think it's very interesting if you juxtapose how the mainstream media is trying to attack the Tea Party movement and the fact that they're not saying anything about these illegal immigrant riots that we see out in Arizona. Who are the real culprits when it comes to violence that is absolutely playing out right now? The Tea Party movement is all about returning to the Constitution and the fundamental principles and values that make this country great. And it's an absolutely fantastic movement of American conscience and will, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
We haven't seen any signs of violence from the Tea Parties, but the media is actually covering up the violence going on at the Arizona protest by Hispanics. Why is that?
Well, it's basically being covered up because the mainstream media and the liberal progressives are all into this, no borders thing. They're not respective of our language and our culture, and they really don't care about what is happening there. As a matter of fact, they support the breakdown of this country and allowing illegals to come in here and do as they wish. So I don't think you can expect them to stand up or do anything when it comes to honoring the borders of this country, protecting the American citizens. I mean, you see the president right now is talking about how he wants the Justice Department to try to find something wrong with the legislation and saying that the states are acting irresponsibly. Well, it's the federal government that's acting irresponsibly. They're not securing our borders, and they're not protecting the American people.
How important do you think the border and immigration issues really are?
Well, it's absolutely important because at a time, I look at my home state here of Florida, where we've got a 12.3% unemployment. The fact that we're allowing people to come across our borders and take jobs away from Americans, we're allowing them to get taxpayer-funded benefits when we're taxing the American citizens to death, this is absolutely wrong. And I think the long-term goal that you have to be cognizant of is the fact that they're looking at changing the electoral base of this country to try to bring in more victims, people that will be dependent upon big government so government can grow, and that will keep the political class, the ruling class elites, in power in Washington, D.C. And it is not about looking at what's best for the American citizens. It's not about, cutting the corporate and business tax rate so that they can hire Americans and penalizing anyone that continues to hire illegals. So this really is a major affront to the sovereignty of the United States of America, and the Constitution even talks about the Congress is supposed to protect this country from invasions, which if you're not a citizen, you're coming across our border, and that's what it is.
Have you seen any semblance of racism in any of the Tea Parties you have attended?
No, absolutely not. There is no semblance of racism. This is just a means by which you can get a group of people to not stand up and to try to get them to, to be silenced. I think that when you look at the history of the Democrat Party, you will see, racism to the nth degree. You will see the fact that you're dealing with people who created the Ku Klux Klan as their terrorist wing, the intimidation, the violence of the Klan, and the white supremacist movement that was, part of the Democratic Party. You will also see the fact that today, now that you have the ACORN, SCIU, the New Black Panther Party, and the fact that, Harry Reid, not too long ago, made his comments about, a light-skinned president being acceptable and not using Negro dialect, and that was given a complete pass. I think that's the sentiment of what you see on the left, is this very racist animus that they have, and, this whole, I call it a dishonest tyranny of the left, where they really don't want to see what's best for minorities. They think that they are above minorities, and that's how they treat us.
How is your campaign doing?
I tell you what, we could not have a better race going on right now. Our fundraising, we have beaten our incumbent opponent for the past 6 months in fundraising. We just had a poll that came out where we were 44% and he was 42%, and that was released on Monday. So I think at 6 months out, we're at the right point for our campaign to kick in into these final 6 months. Of course, we will make that final push in the last 3 months all the way down to the 2nd of November. And our message is resonating with Americans, and it's a basic message of conservative principles and values, which I think will get this country back on track.
With all of the Washington, D.C. disconnect going on, it's getting more difficult to find a politician to believe in anymore.
Absolutely. And first of all, I never will consider myself a politician. You know, I've been a servant of this great republic in uniform, military uniform, and now that I've retired and taken that uniform off, it's about continuing to serve just in a suit and tie. And you can continue to follow us at www.gowest2010.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. If you go to YouTube, you see countless amount of videos that we have. And, you know, it just comes back to the oath of office that I took in 1982, and I will continue to uphold that oath, which is to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, and that's what means the most to me.
Colonel Alan West, thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks so much for having me, and feel free to contact us. You have an open line of communications, and thanks so much for allowing me to share with the Savage Nation.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Two decades after the end of the Cold War, we face a cruel irony of history. The risk of a nuclear confrontation between nations has gone down, but the risk of nuclear attack has gone up. Nuclear materials that could be sold or stolen and fashioned into a nuclear weapon exist in dozens of nations. Just the smallest amount of plutonium, about the size of an apple, could kill and injure hundreds of thousands of innocent people.
The Obama administration's stance on nuclear weapons is confusing, especially where it concerns China. Joining us from the Heritage Foundation to help sort this out is Dean Cheng.
Well, the president is trying to reshape the American approach towards nuclear deterrence, and what he is laying out is a new view of the role of nuclear weapons. And what it is a position that really sort of dilutes their impact. So he's taking an approach that has worked basically since 1945 and decided that he's got a new, better approach. Maybe this is a new form of hope and change.
While China seems to be growing, we seem to be getting weaker.
Well, the problem is that the administration is heaping a new, really important role on America's conventional forces at the same time that it is basically denying those same forces the additional funds that it's going to need and is canceling key programs. Now, the thing to think about here is that nuclear deterrence, basically what we used to call the balance of terror, works not just because it promises that the other side, if it does something crazy like attacks you, is going to suffer a whole lot of destruction, but that it's going to do so in a really short amount of time. So if you think about it, more people died in the Tokyo firebombings during World War II than at either Hiroshima or Nagasaki. Most people don't realize that. But it took weeks to bomb Tokyo, and it took minutes to bomb Hiroshima or Nagasaki. And in each case, it was one plane with one bomb. So what this does to an opponent, if they're thinking about attacking you, is that they have to stop every plane that could be carrying a nuke, and they know that if they don't do it, then an entire city, or maybe several cities, will go away. It's even harder with ballistic missiles, unless you have defenses. So if a country is thinking about attacking the United States, what you want them to know, whether they're attacking you with chemicals or biological weapons or nukes, that they are not only going to suffer retaliation, but that retaliation is going to be massive and devastating, is going to basically leave their society a shambles. Now, the administration doesn't seem to want to take that approach. The administration seems to be saying that, no, we can do a lot of damage with conventional forces. Now, you know, B-2s with JDAMs and things like that. And the problem here is, to begin with, that will take a lot more time because American conventional weapons are actually designed to be very precise and to produce very limited amounts of damage because we generally don't like killing civilians, you know, as collateral damage. We really do try to limit the amount of destruction. So right there, you sort of have these two issues at odds.
Hmm.
The other problem here is that the administration is also not willing to put the funding, its money, where its mouth is in order to fund the necessary programs. Now, part of this, as Secretary of Defense Gates has noted, is that the U.S. is currently already in two wars, and we need to focus a lot of our resources there. And I absolutely agree that we need to make sure that America's fighting men and fighting women have all the resources that they need. But at the same time, Obama and Gates are going to reduce defense spending along the lines for the high-intensity forces. So really, you're sort of shifting money from those over to the counterinsurgency forces. But those are the high-intensity combat is exactly what you're talking about if you're going to rely on them for your deterrent effect. And most worrisome, you mentioned China, is that this is exactly where many of our potential opponents and adversaries are putting their money, in the high-intensity areas. So if you think about the issue of China, for example, a lot of this is captured in what the Chinese refer to as anti-access programs. China is building a lot of different systems that are designed to keep American military forces far away from China. This includes anti-ship ballistic missiles, missiles that aren't armed with nuclear weapons, but that are armed with a variety of types of warheads that will damage and potentially sink an aircraft carrier. They're building many different kinds of much more quiet submarines. Today's Chinese Navy is not the Navy of the 1950s. This is not, you know, simply relying on large numbers of obsolete equipment. Instead, they are buying from the Russians and building their own submarines that are going to be very hard to find unless we spend a lot of money and a lot of time trying to find them, money that the administration doesn't seem to be fully prepared to be spending. Another set of things that the Chinese are building is what's referred to as C4ISR, Command, Control, Communications, Computers, Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance Systems. This includes specialized radars that allow you to see aircraft far over the horizon, as well as ocean surveillance satellites. All of this combines so that what the Chinese are trying to do is to deter us. What the Chinese are trying to do is to say to the United States, if you think you are going to fight China over someplace like, say, Taiwan, then your forces are going to be taking casualties from the moment they leave their ports, be they Pearl Harbor or be they maybe Tokyo Bay or San Diego, and they are going to suffer casualties, and they are going to take losses. Are you really sure you want to do that? And the cutbacks that DOD faces in programs like the F-22 and elsewhere basically affects many of the systems that are best suited to handle this kind of Chinese capability.
Are we limiting our strategy due to budget cutbacks, or are the cutbacks because of our new strategy of limiting our military?
Well, I think that there's a lot of truth to that. Part of the issue here is that the administration is saying, gee, we have these huge deficits, and everyone is going to have to take a cut in order to make up for that. Now, we'll leave aside where those deficits came from, although, you know, the stimulus package with $787 billion and a whole variety of these other packages all seem to have come up quite recently. But the other issue here is defense really the kind of place that you want to take the cut? You know, that is national defense something that you think of when you say, I want to cut the deficit?
Well, what should we be doing?
Well, I think that the first question, and this brings us back to the nuclear posture review. The first question here is, what was wrong with the current strategy? What is it that makes us think that a system that has been stable, that has kept the major powers from fighting each other? We and the Soviets, we went eyeball to eyeball a number of times, but neither side ever openly took shots at each other. We and the Chinese, after the Korean War, never went toe-to-toe with each other. What is it about this that is so terrible that the administration somehow feels that it needs to make this change? So that's the first question. And I would suggest that, you know, either you think that nuclear weapons are somehow by themselves, sitting there in their silos, a danger, or not. And I would suggest that people who think that somehow nuclear weapons by themselves are inherently dangerous are probably people who shouldn't have one. But for the United States, maintaining stability, the United States supporting its allies and having made defense commitments, I'm not really sure that that's a really great approach.
Right, right, right.
The next issue then, are we doing the right kinds of things to fulfill our broad defense requirements? So we have commitments to places like Japan and Taiwan and South Korea, facing large, nasty opponents like China, potentially, and North Korea, who we now see just torpedoed a South Korean frigate. You know, what kinds of capabilities will make these countries sit up, take notice, and understand that you really do not want to challenge the United States? And I would suggest that those are the kinds of capabilities that we should be committing resources to. The other thing here was that the administration also has made noises about supporting what is called a conventional prompt global response. They're saying, oh, don't worry. We don't need nuclear weapons to deter other countries. We don't need nuclear weapons to keep some of these bad guys at bay. We'll develop a brand new set of weapons. Now, the first problem here is that these brand new weapons are all on paper. They don't exist. Okay, hypersonic cruise missiles. Great idea. Really expensive. So either you think that we need to spend less on defense, because that's what you said, and why we're not going to buy a whole series of current programs that are already built, that already have people working on them, that already have, you know, hot production lines, or you don't think that this is an issue because you're going to pour lots of money into research and development on weapons that won't see the light of day for years. So that's your first dilemma. But the second issue here is, so you're going to develop a weapon that can reach around the world within a few hours at most. And hopefully you're going to buy enough of these so that a country will be deterred, going back to the issue of being devastated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that means probably firing a lot of these weapons. So the question then is, if you believe in stability, because remember, nuclear is somehow unstable, then you're going to buy a lot of these weapons that you will fire in large numbers that can reach around the world. But countries like Russia and China are supposed to look at this and just sort of say, oh, well, of course, that's okay. Would we accept Russia or China building hundreds or thousands of weapons that could reach around the world and just take their word for it that these were conventionally armed? So the administration is basically strategically incoherent. And I think it is trying to push a message that is all things to all of its audiences, but which, from a foreign perspective, from a potential enemy's perspective, makes no sense. And that really doesn't support deterrence. What it does is it makes us look confused at best and lacking willpower at worst.
Dean Chang, thanks again for being on The Savage Nation.
Well, Michael, thank you again for having me. It's always a pleasure.
The air attack warning sounds like, this is the sound.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now.
As you went away, a microphone picked you up saying that was a very bigoted woman. Is that what you said?
I apologise if I've said anything like that. What I think she was raising with me was an issue about immigration and saying that there were too many people from Eastern Europe in the country.
All the lives of the people running round their castles are burned.
There was an interesting article that came out by Andrew T. Durham that we posted on michaelsavage.com. Also, by the way, you can see Gordon Brown talking to this woman and then getting in his Jaguar and closing his door thinking he was safe from the ears and eyes of the public. not knowing that his lapel mic was still on this bungling moron, and to think that he runs a nuclear powered country. This moron is talking in the car. You can see it all by going to my website, michaelsavage.com, and clicking on to the image. But next to it is an article by Andrew Durham called The Prescience of Michael Savage, which I feel obliged to read in part to you. And he says, once again, radio host Michael Savage has read the tea leaves of the nation. Savage has a long history of nailing issues that no one else really covers, yet are so important to the very backbone of what's left of our nation. And this is an interesting list. For instance, Savage was correct on his prediction of the Duke lacrosse player's case, although the criminal who falsely reported a crime is still allowed to walk free. Savage was correct in his dedication to the Haditha Marines. So far, all of them have been exonerated for any wrongdoing in the manufactured massacre. Savage also correctly predicted the outcome of the Dubai ports deal, the immigration reform debacle of 07, and many others. The issue at hand is this. For years, Michael Savage has said repeatedly that this country is controlled by, among others, Goldman Sachs. Now, the media likes to portray those of us who see the writing on the wall as conspiracy theorists, truthers, or birthers, or whatever, so long as it ridicules something they're too stupid to investigate. The true sin of the modern age is willful ignorance. The semi-educated puffballs in the media need to invent a silly word to describe people who might just have a finger on the pulse of a nation being screwed by old blood and old money. At any rate, he writes, Savage predicted the current furor over Goldman Sachs simply by observing that the strings of what was once a powerful nation are being pulled by men in red power ties, not by men of conviction and concern for the constitutional well-being of a nation. He goes on to say that taking action is a very important thing, yet there is an entire media army against the Tea Parties. But I defy them to actually do something. While they fawn over the Republican propaganda of Rush and Hannity, it would best serve those actually willing to do something to heed Michael Savage, who is beholden to no one. And he says, and here's the punchline, while I'm all about protesting and expressing outrage at the thug mob that has taken over this country and the utter incompetence of the worst Congress in the history of this nation, it is always best to listen in the night for the call of Paul Revere. In this case, it's Michael Savage, and there ain't going to be any lights to see until it's too late. Also today on the Savage Nation, thank you, Andrew Durham. Also today on the Savage Nation, we are reporting something that has not yet hit the media. You saw hearings in the last few days of a guy from Michigan named Levin, a guy with a very long nose, with glasses on the edge of his nose, getting hysterical attacking Goldman Sachs, as though he himself was a man of the people. Play that sound.
You don't believe it's relevant to a customer of yours that you are selling a security to, that you are betting against that same security. You just don't think it's relevant and needs to be disclosed. Is that the bottom line?
Yes, and the people who are selling it in our firm wouldn't even know what the firm's position is. And
oh, yes, they did. Oh, yes, they
Senator,
did.
Senator, we have 35,000 people and thousands of traders making markets throughout our firm. They might have an idea, but they might not have an idea.
Now
and the next
they
day,
might,
it might be different.
Yeah.
What you don't know is that his family owns a company called the Habitat Company. It's owned by his cousin, Daniel Levin. Nothing wrong with that. Well, not really. Well, what you don't know is that from 1995 to 2008, Obama administration advisor Valerie Jarrett was CEO of the Habitat Company, which is a real estate firm headed by Daniel Levin, cousin of Senator Carl Levin, and Representative Sandra Levin, all of Michigan. Nothing wrong with that, right? Well, if you go and look at the actual work that the Habitat Company does, you'll find out that this private firm keeps a tight grip on public housing. That's right. They keep a tight grip on public housing, and they receive millions and millions of dollars in public funds for managing this public housing. Did you know that? Habitat earns a 3% fee of the dollar spent on new family housing construction, plus overhead costs, according to information we have then found. So since a certain period, HUD has budgeted $21 million for Habitat services and paid about $17 million of it. As a development manager, Habitat earned about $1.4 million of the $40 million in federal funds, currently earmarked for 303 new public housing units at Cabrini. Now, that's important for you to know. In other words, when you hear these leftists screaming about the poor, you can guarantee that they're going to take it to the bank. And as I say, the next time Senator Levin gets up there and attacks, whether it's Goldman Sachs or any other firm or any other person, ask him to explain about Habitat's monies, how much they earned as a result of managing public housing, and how much they got in federal funding. With over 23,000 units under management, the Habitat company is one of the largest private residential private managers in Chicago, they say. Well, that's good. I'm glad to see that there's such a cozy relationship between the Habitat company and the U.S. government, especially since they have a cousin, Carl Levin, as the chairman of just so many important committees. Check out the Habitat company. It's the Savage Nation. Living on a thin
line. What is she doing?
Oh, everything. She's just a sort of bigoted woman.
Savage.